Mission accepted. There was a man sent from God. John chapter 1 verse 6. Lord, here am I. Isaiah 6 verse 8. John the Baptizer was a man with a mission and a commission from God. Isaiah the prophet was a man with a humble and devoted heart towards God. Both came as messengers from God, proclaiming the good news about God. Both were voices in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. We may not be listed in the annals of Scripture as a devoted Mary of Bethany. We may not be like Joseph of Arimathea, living the open secret life of a disciple. But each of us likewise are called, cleansed, commissioned, and consigned to duty. Each of us, however insignificant by birth, have been sent by God into this world. Each, however unclean, have had our lips touched with coals from off the altar. Each, however depraved our past lives, have been told, "Your guilt is gone forever." Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. If we are called by God, we also have a mission and a commission. If we are sent by God, he gives us a definite errand, a peculiar assignment. He has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives, however insignificant we may be. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. Lord, here am I. Send me. No soul ever came into this world by accident. He knew you before your birth. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. No blood-bought believer walked this earth without a God-orchestrated mission. Each day of my life was fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. No born-again believer need ever fear rejection, for we are accepted in the Beloved. Oh yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. With loving-kindness I have drawn you. Mighty men of yore, like Moses or Elijah, John the Baptizer or Paul, were each men of like passions, sinful to the core, men of unclean lips and lives. Each had to be buried in the waters of death to the old life of lust, before their God-appointed mission could be fully realized. And like these saints of old, we too have a calling and a commission from him. Oh, it did not come in the form of a burning bush, nor a vision of the throne room of God, but we are equally precious and equally beloved of the Lord. For there is no partiality with God. God does not show favoritism. Whether we meet him on a Damascus road, or speak with him on an Emmaus way, or if we see him in a revelatory Patmos vision, such as God gave to his servant John, we are all without fame or favour, background or service, accepted in the Beloved. And we are all sent from God, and we all have a definite and allotted task to do. Are you living the life and performing the assignment apportioned to you? Are you living out the thought and plans that God had for you before you were born? Or do you constantly beat yourself because of your unworthiness to perform his will? Well, the truth is that there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one of us could begin to fulfill the task that he has designed for us. For Jesus said, "Without me you can do nothing." And yet, The wonderful truth is that I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ because he lives in me. You see, it is not I that carry out the allotted task that is set before me. For if I do, it is done in the flesh. But it is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Are we fulfilling his will for our lives in him, or seeking to achieve it another way, by self-denial, self-discipline, self-protection, self-importance, self-interest? These are important questions, and ones that all Christians should reflect upon. Are we doing what he wants us to do in action and attitude, word and motive? We shouldn't stop short of honest, spirit-led answers to all these important things. We should question ourselves to see if we are being the person he chose us to be. Or are we putting on a mask and hiding behind a protective barrage of excuses? We find our work and our mission through simple obedience and submission to him. But how few choose that route. First, he weaves us together in our mother's womb. Then he patiently starts to call us, and sooner or later we respond to his call, until we recognize and accept him as Saviour, and we tell of our glorious discovery. After the initial honeymoon period of glorious delight in his inestimable love, we leave him. We fall into an alternative direction. We go our own way until we turn to Christ. We try to live by self-denial, self-discipline, self-protection, self-importance, self-interest. Until we turn again to the delights of our first love and do the first works. Then he graciously starts to prepare us. He breaks us in order to remove all traces of the original Adam. It's a breaking, grinding, painful, and lonely pathway, often over years, even decades. Until in humility of spirit, we nail every semblance of self to the cross. Many believers fail throughout their entire Christian life to fully accept this truth, to understand they are totally and unreservedly accepted in Christ, accepted in the Beloved. For none can pluck them out of my hand, and none can pluck them from the hand of the Father. Until we can fully believe that we are unconditionally and unreservedly accepted, until we can trust that the coals of the altar have fully cleansed our unclean lips, until we can truly accept that it must be none of me and all of him, until we can stand on the promise of our position in Christ, we miss the mark in our commission. Contemplate on these words that Paul writes, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved.